Blog Talk Radio.
Just listening to the cellist Brian Snow. Give thanks for our blessings. Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. I consider myself a guest in your home because here at Faceted Gems, we try to promote all of the wonderful blessings that we have, and on occasion we're able to share with each other because of our strengths, because of our gifts, because of our talents. Faceted Gems promotes the kind of exploration that we do in order to develop our skills and actualize them sometimes into second and third careers. We've been fortunate to have several guests that have shared with us their life experiences. They've talked about how they developed their interests, how they became aware of the skill set that they had that were transferable, the kinds of occupations that they've had. They've learned to also understand that this journey in life is one that revolves around people, love, friendship, kindness, a willingness to serve sometimes, and really just developing that inner sense and understanding what makes you tick, you the individual. Not what other people expect from you or of you, but what makes you happy, what makes you proud of your work, your product, whatever it is you might do. And part of that has to involve the fact that if you don't know something, to ask. And the fact that we're constantly evolving and learning from each other is a wonderful, wonderful resource. Many of us don't take the opportunity to learn from each other, and that's unfortunate because each one of us has a lesson to teach the other. We've also had the opportunity to talk to individuals that have been able to mentor and encourage others. And that's why I'm so happy to say that tonight we have as our guest Tony Yarbrough. Tony, welcome to Faceted Gems.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. I am so fortunate to have Tony on. Tony is a full cycle e-learning specialist, a project manager. He is a business systems analyst. He has many technical skills, Flash, Sound Booth, SharePoint. He has a Master's of Arts in Instructional Technology. He attended the College of Human Services, the New School for Social Research. He's certified in drama therapy. He's just a wonderful, wonderful individual. I'm so fortunate and blessed to have him as a friend and a colleague. We've known each other for many years, and I'm very blessed and happy that you've decided to be on Faceted Gems. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, I want people to hear a little bit about the journey in your life because as I rolled off all those things, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, that is the encapsulated version of his vitae. But this is someone who has been able to continue to evolve and help others. And just tell people a little bit about yourself in your own words.
Well, as you know, we met on stage.
Right.
I started out what I thought would be a lifelong career as a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I started training when I was in high school. Right after the summer between junior high school and high school, I joined a dance class in my local church, and it just went from there. It seems that it was something I was good at. I started taking classes at Bernice Johnson, which has propelled many dancers to the stage and screen, most notable Michael Roberts, who performed and choreographed the Thriller video for Michael Jackson and other pieces. Bad was another one of the pieces that he did for Michael Jackson.
Right.
I danced, and then I think we met at Jamaica Arts Center.
That's right.
Dancing with Stanley Bates.
That's right.
And the very late 70s, early 80s. And,
that's right.
Yeah, and I danced there for a while and, did the New York City rounds, JoJo Dance Factory, Hines and Hatchett, which later became Broadway Dance, and I don't even know where they are anymore.
Right.
I'm hoping that they're still around. But after a few years of hoofing, here and there, my knee gave out.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally was faced with, okay, taking a backstage or offstage role or leaving the profession altogether, and that's what I chose to do.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped dancing, I stopped performing, but I used what I had learned, one of the things, if you're on stage, whether you're dancing or acting, and I did both, it's how to relate to an audience, how to relate to people. I enjoyed working with people, and that took me to the next segment in my life where I worked in social services. I always stayed in school, which is important for me. And I'm certified as a drama therapist, and I started working with different organizations that were really exploring this new. Well, not new, but certainly it was at a period of time when more organizations were looking to explore different treatment modalities for their clients.
Right.
And many were looking at the arts as a way of helping people to express some of the traumas that they were experiencing and also to work through various issues. So the arts therapies became very popular, and the New School was one of the leaders here in New York City, and so I enrolled there and was very fortunate to come under the tutelage of a Gertrude Schratner, who kind of wrote the book on drama therapy. German-born, trained in both Europe and in the U.S., and really set up practice in the U.S. and really started exploring between her constituents at the New School and New York universities, really building a following and really building it into a whole new treatment modality. So it was drama, therapy, art therapy, dance and or movement therapy, and music therapy.
Right.
And really looking at the various disciplines. And it became a cost-effective method of providing a very valuable service to a lot of individuals worldwide, basically. I mean, because it's, you know, it's really major, and it's really now grown into one of the major treatment modalities used, not just for people experiencing trauma, but even for musicians and performers and sports people, athletes, all using these types of therapy.
At the time, it was cutting edge. I mean, this was new for everyone to even think about doing this. So it was, you know, you were there at the forefront, really.
And so, you know, from that, you know, and I stayed in contact with Gertrude for some time after I left the new school, and occasionally, you know, would work on projects with her. But then, you know, I knew that I wanted to somehow combine, you know, my love of the arts and the art of helping people, which is, you know,
right.
also an art.
Right.
I later went back to school and got my Bachelor's of Science from the College of Human Services. Great school, great program, and which really focuses on the human services aspect of providing services for people in social service agencies and educational organizations. So, you know, and one of the things I loved about that, the program there, is that each semester it has its own theme. So you have group counseling, individual counseling, training and education, all of these different themes that you work through, and you must complete a 14-week internship at the same time
in
whatever the given theme is for the semester.
Right.
So you really get an opportunity to get a taste of what it means to provide, to set up and provide group therapy, what it means to set up a community-based training program, regardless of the topic, you know, all of the individual and players that you have to get involved in order to make these things run smoothly. And of course, you know, certainly, you know, addressing community bias, it really made you that much more rounded. And while many of us, you know, started out thinking, oh, yes, you know, we're going to design the only program that's going to save the world, it kind of grounded us and brought us back to earth and said, okay, well, you may make an effect, but, yeah, saving the world, yeah, that'll have to be next week.
But yeah. You're on the right path, at least. At least you're learning the tools, you're getting the discipline, you're getting the right, you know, the right tutelage, the right understanding of what it takes, because it's a lot of different elements. It's not as easy as you may think, and it's not a bad thing to think, to dream big, but at least you have some of the tools necessary in order to approach that.
You know, and it's interesting you should mention tools. At this time, this was the late 80s, and the personal computer was just starting to surface.
Mm-hmm.
More and more people were, you know, we were moving, we were already getting rid of our typewriters and ribbons,
right.
Which is what I did my reports on when I was in the new school, to word processors, which were these hybrids that were in between typewriters and what would be later become the personal computer, where you could do a little bit more with editing and formatting, you know, page margins and bolding and making corrections. That was, like, the extent of what they could do.
Right.
But I got on board. I got, you know, one of the actually, I bought a word processor made by the same people that had made the typewriter. I can't remember the brand right now. But the typewriter I use is the same typewriter my grandfather used to write his graduate thesis with at Columbia University. So I kind of, you know, while I kept his typewriter, I moved on to technology, which would later become something I would gravitate toward with a passion. I could always write. But I was always editing.
Mm-hmm.
And because I couldn't type, there were times, well, you know, I kept, you know, I was a good student. You know, I went through with a fairly high GPA. There were always times when I wanted to edit papers and couldn't because of the amount of time it took to edit papers back in the days.
Right.
That really basically meant retyping a page and maybe even subsequent pages, depending on how much content you added.
Right.
So then I got my first computer. Didn't have a hard drive, and it has less memory than my first cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
But it cost me a few $1,000s, and, you know, I was the cock of the walk. You know, it's like I had a computer in my house.
Right.
There was no internet, you know, connectivity. We didn't even think about being able to connect them. All we was like, wow, you can edit an entire page and change text around. And for someone who writes and in social services and, you know, and developing programs and writing grants, you know, you're constantly editing yourself until the last draft, final draft. And it really allows one to put forth their best work and reduce the effort. You know, because sometimes, you know, you lose time. It's just like, well, this has to be out in the mail by 5 o'clock. We can't afford to do that last little bit of editing simply because we don't have the time to type it. Now you change a sentence, you reprint a page, boom.
Right.
But, you know, fast forward, you know, the computer became, you know, part of our everyday life. You know, every agency I worked in had that. And I think it was at Mount Sinai where I started doing education more, doing more training, public community education projects, public health projects, where the use of the personal computer really made a lot of sense for me. Being Mount Sinai and being cutting edge in very many ways, I had access to the faculty lounge. I worked on a workshop that we provided for fourth year medical students so that they could work better with adolescents in areas of taking sexual nature and just really understanding their clients in order so that they could develop some kind of relationship, which would hopefully translate over into better treatment adherence. So in doing so, I got access to the faculty lounge and the faculty computer lounge, which had all the latest toys.
Right.
And they had the manuals for all the latest toys. And back then, believe it or not, you actually could call Microsoft on the telephone and reach someone that you had talked to the day before, and they remembered your name.
Wow.
Those days are long gone.
And
long gone. We came almost as close as sending each other Christmas cards. That's how close we were. Because you could call and say, okay, well, I'm trying to do this. How does this work? All of the major software manufacturers had excellent customer service portals then that were free. And it made sense for the time. This is something new, and in order, if you want people to adopt it, you have to be there to support them.
Right.
And during those days, you could really get in and do, and like I said, and talk to everyone. PowerPoint became my first motion software that I used. It allowed you to use pictures and have images moving across the screen. So it was not quite there, but certainly moving towards the ability of making individuals producers of content.
Right, of content.
Yeah, I mean, you could always write things before.
But not
know,
like
and
this.
Submit
this
it.
Opened up a whole nother world. And the fact that you took the opportunity that was there because you saw that you could access this information and you weren't afraid to try to learn it. You see, one of the things that has been a constant theme, one of the ideas that has been a constant theme with guests on Faceted Gem is the fact that they're not afraid to learn. They're open to learning. They're open to saying they don't understand something or know how to do something, and they're willing to go back to school or to learn or to open a book or to ask somebody else who happens to be an expert, how do I do this? And that's why I'm so grateful that Neil Blake allows us to have this program on Rainbow Soul, because we're able to explain to people that it's okay to admit that you don't know how to do something. But part of it also is your nature. Your nature is one where you're curious. And I think you've always been like that, as long as I've known you. And you're willing to embrace something new. And that's a wonderful aspect of anyone that's trying to develop to that next level, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. And part of it, I definitely have to give my mom credit. Mm. From very young, my mother would say, you know, if it's in a book and it's written well, you can learn it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been very curious, as you said, at sometimes a bit too curious, you know, and she being the wise woman that she is, realized when it was time for my chemistry set to go before I blew myself and the house up.
But she always encouraged exploration. Yes, and that kind of encouragement, not all of our guests have had that kind of encouragement, that kind of openness. And fortunately, you and I have not been held back by that. Some of our guests have been individuals who have not had support and have had to really forge ahead on their own. And I think what's wonderful in your instance is that you've been able to combine so many aspects of your own personality in your work. You know, the fact that you like to work with people, that you want to help people, that you have that physicality, that you're able to be in front of people and talk and express yourself. Some people can't do that. Some people may have a lot of knowledge, but they can't express themselves very well. And you're able to combine what you know, and you're not afraid of sharing what you know, with other people in a very palatable way that is engaging. And that's a gift. I don't think you realize that is, because it just comes so naturally to you. And I think those are areas that if individuals don't have that and they want to be more engaging with people, they can learn how to develop. You know, it's not just Toastmasters International. It's really genuinely believing that you want to impart information to somebody because you know it's going to help them. And I think that's part of where that therapeutic part of you comes out also, if you don't mind me saying. I see that in you, you know?
It's funny, you know, some people will refer to our attributes as gifts. Generally, it's been my experience, at least speaking for myself, I don't notice it as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a part of me all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier to recognize gifts in others because you know it's an area that you have challenges in. For example, I had a good friend growing up. He could draw almost anything, on anything. He could take a stick and make a masterpiece in the sand or scratching
mm-hmm.
it onto the street. He just had mm-hmm. that knack, and I was always blown away with the little thing. I mean, he could take paper and tear it into a Picasso shape. I mean, it was incredible with what he could do. That was his gift. To him, I'm sure it's just like, oh, it's just something I do.
But it
was, for him, it was a gift. And I think for all of us, it's really important that we kind of listen to ourselves. We know what our passions are. We know what gets us excited, to let whatever excites you to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's probably where your talent, where your specialness lies. You know, we know what we need. We know what makes us happy. And all I can say is, you know what? Your library is your best friend. And that now, of course, the Internet being, you know, so popular, the Internet research, I spent a lot of time in the stacks.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid on Jamaica, on the big library right across from the bus terminal in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
Queens,
mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of time in that library branch researching all kinds of things because the information was there. And if it wasn't there, I found out, oh, wow, you can order it. Be patient. They'll send away for it.
Right.
You know,
it's so true, and it's free. You know, and that's the other thing. It's not, it's not that you have to necessarily. You don't have to pay for the knowledge that's in the library. It's accessible. I've always been amazed at how many people don't have a library card. Like, yeah. You can borrow this. You know,
like,
bring it back.
This is your
you
first
can borrow
friend.
This. You know,
exactly.
And you can lose track of time in the library. You and I both know that. But I mean, you know, there are so many people that don't have a library card. Something seen as a library card, or don't know that you can also borrow films. You can, you know, learn a language. You can, you know, as a matter of fact, several libraries I know, Grand Army Plaza, they have language groups. You can learn a language with a group of people. You know, it's really very nice. Everybody's learning. They have one instructor, and it's just a very friendly kind of, you know, dialogue, and people talk about their trips, their vacations, everything else in this other language that they're trying to learn, whether it's ESL or whatever, English as a second language or whatever. It's just a very, very nice, wonderful place, and I don't know that people really utilize the libraries as much as they possibly can. They also offer a lot of free classes. But you see, you know, you and I understand that because we avail ourselves of it. And that's another place where one can network and mentor and learn about job opportunities. And they do a lot of career workshops and how to write a resume. There's wonderful, wonderful information for free in the libraries. And I don't know why people are afraid of the libraries. Some people are.
Well, you know, one thing, the libraries of today, many of them have evolved with the times. And have expanded their services to better serve the communities that they're mm-hmm. in. And I was astounded myself at the breadth and the complexity of the courses that are available at the mm-hmm. public library here at Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And through the technology library, if you're willing to travel to
right.
different libraries, they have mm-hmm. they're almost as busy as Lincoln Center. As far
right.
as the number of programs that they have running, of course they can't serve the numbers of a Lincoln Center, but certainly they could go toe to toe with the number of various events that they have scattered throughout. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
can go to the Performing Arts Library, speaking of Lincoln Center, at Lincoln Center, and
exactly.
it's a whole library that's devoted to the performing arts, visual
right.
arts. And I've used that for research, but
right.
I love the library. There's a story I always like to tell about a decision was made that I was going to be sent to boarding school for high school. And I knew the boarding school that I was going to have to go to. Several of my cousins who were older were already there, and it was in South Carolina, and I had pretty much decided that I was not going to suffer a similar fate. Now, you might say, at 13, how much choice do you have? Well, I figured, well, maybe if I found a viable alternative that, you know, I might be able to alter my fate. So I had seen a special of a boarding school that was in the mountains in Geneva, Switzerland. I had no idea how to contact the school. I went to my local library, and I asked a few questions
you know
of the
what?
Librarian who knew me.
But wait a minute, because this gentleman is going to be in on our program in April, you're going to have to find out, ladies and gentlemen, how he was able to stay here, meet me, and be on my program. Because right now, that's the cliffhanger I'm leaving everybody with, Tony. That's the cliffhanger. That's the cliffhanger. He used the library, and that is why he is on Faceted Gems tonight, because I'm so grateful to have him on, and he's going to be on the April show. That'll be an hour-long program. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Diane. It's
You're
been a pleasure.
You're fascinating. Everyone, Faceted Gems. Love everyone. Empower, assist when you can, dream and believe with the positive energy within. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you.